Okay, we're in John chapter 1. What a fun study to come to. John 1. Okay. Depend if I muck it up or not, but let's pray just so I won't, right? Father, it's a wonderful passage. Well, you know, what part of your word isn't? It's a wonderful passage, Lord, but I'm always afraid that I'll Charlie Brown it, and I just want people to understand what you'd have us to understand and be blessed and to grow by your word. And I believe that's what you have in store for us as well. We pray you would bless to that end. Lord Jesus, be glorified in our midst. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Now, I won't go. I'd like to read the first 14 verses, but for time's sake, I won't. But I would like to show you something. Read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and it was with God, and the Word was God. We ended in verse 14. Let's read that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's where we ended. Well, look at both the verses again. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Verse 1, and the Word was with God. Look at verse 14, and we beheld his glory. Verse 1, and the Word was God. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, that can't be coincidence. Those make up sentences, little triplets like that. Now, you can do the same thing with 1, 14, and 18, but I'm going to leave you to do that on your own. What I'm trying to emphasize is skillfully, purposefully designed by the Holy Spirit, and there are things like that. Some I will point out. If I did each and every one, would never make any headway. I am in trouble with, as I go through this section, there's 1,000 jumping off points. And I'm going to not try to jump off anymore. I'm going to try to plow through this, plowboys that we are, and get through this in a way that I hope it's an integral whole. Okay, verse 15. John bears of him. Now, this is John the baptizer, okay? Some say John the Baptist. It's not John the gospel writer. John the gospel writer is going to be in the gospel, but he names himself. Okay, just in case you were wondering. So when it talks about John, we're looking at John the baptizer. John bears of him, and that's what the whole book is about. This is what this section is about. Think about a court of law. Okay, Mr. Baptist, so you know this Jesus? Well, I know him, yeah. He's my mom and his mom are cousins, so we're related. What's that, second cousins? First cousins, I never know that stuff, okay? They're related, anyway. Yeah, what do you think about him? Well, I'll tell you right now, and that's what he's about to do. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. You say, how is he before him? John's the older of the two. Oh, no. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. Verse 1. In the beginning, when the beginning rolled around, as we would understand it, the time when God said, light be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he spoke things into existence, what happened? Time started. Material, energy, matter. Matter, material, energy, time. It's all there. Anyway, whatever there is started when God said, he spoke it into existence. When that happened, Father God was already there. Jesus, the Son of God, was already there. The Holy Spirit of God was already there. It's hard to talk about time before time. How does John handle it? In the beginning, God already. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. He cometh before me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John wasn't around at the beginning. Get it. His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's a whole sermon right there. You remember, we talked about this when we were studying Joshua. In the end of Deuteronomy, Moses died of death. He was healthy. He's, what is he, like 120 years old, right? Yeah, I think so. And his eye wasn't dim. His natural force was not abated. God said, come on up in the mountain. You're going to die. I'm going to bury you. That's how it's going to be. Why? Well, I want to show you something. The law came by Moses. What is the law? Oh, it'll kill you to death. The law is the law. We're going to lay down the law, God says. You transgress the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Thinking, I know a lot of people trying to get to heaven by keeping the law. That's a fool's errand. We know that around here. We talk about that at length. The law came by Moses. You can't go into the promised land. The law can't lead you into the promises of God. It can't. What is the promised land? What's the promises? It's all that God has promised you. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises, according to Peter. Remember that? Can you inherit these by the law? No, that's absurd. Can you inherit them by grace? Oh, yeah. That's why Joshua, read here, Jesus, the Hebrew form of Jesus. Jesus is Greek. Yeshua is Hebrew. That's Joshua's name, okay? Yehoshua, salvation of God. Jesus' name means salvation. Can salvation bring you into the promise? And truth came by Jesus Christ. I could park out here for a long time. I love this verse. Now, the more we study grace, the more magnificent it is. Law, death. Grace, life. Law, damnation, because you can't keep it. The law is good. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem with the law is me. The problem with the law is you. We can't keep this perfect law. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ says, well, guess what? You don't have to. Law, damnation. Grace, salvation. I'll be thinking about that for the rest of eternity. And the more you think about it, the better it is. It's a better outcome. I know a lot of people trying to get saved by the law. It's a fool's errand. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No one's seen God at any time. We were just reading about, a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, we were looking at Gideon. God called Gideon while Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press. God called him. Showed up in person. He saw him. How does that work? All theophanies. What's that? Manifestation of God in the Old Testament. All theophanies, I believe, are Christophanies. What's Christophany? A manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus was the voice of the burning bush. Easily, we can see that. He's going to use seven I am statements through this gospel. He's pointing back to the burning bush. He says to the religious leaders, before Abraham was, I am. He's owning Exodus 4. You know the voice of the burning bush? That was me. Okay? He is the angel that Joshua encountered, the angel of the Lord. Angel, hey, God's, Jesus is an angel, messenger, relax. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament very, very often is Jesus Christ. And this verse is saying, no one has seen Father God. You remember, Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, yeah, I'd like to show you, but yeah, your eyes would melt. It wouldn't work out. Listen, put you in a cleft rock, I'll cover you with my hand. As I go past, you can see the afterglow, as it were, but you can't see my face and live. No. And I think all manifestations of God in the Old Testament are Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, but he's God the Son. No man has seen God any time. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. What do you need to know about God? You can find it out in Jesus Christ. How else can you find it out? Jesus Christ. The Word, the Logos. This is what I would have you know about me, God said. And he sent the Word to describe, to tell, to transfer from the heart, the mind of God, into our heart, our mind. This is how I am. This is who I am. If you checked out Jesus, you remember Thomas, show us the Father, it will suffice. And Jesus says, Tom, I've been with you this long, and you're telling me, show us the Father? Basically, he's telling them, everything you need to know about God, you can find right here in God the Son, manifest, open among us. Like I say, all these verses are a whole series of sermons, but we'll keep moving. This is the record of John. This is what John submitted into evidence, right? When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? By the way, when it's talking about Jews, synecdoche, a what? The specific for the group, okay. Hey, nice set of wheels. That's a synecdoche. I'm not a tire fancier. I'm saying your automobile is fine. She sets a nice table. We're not talking about that the napkins are folded pleasantly with the knife on the right-hand side. And I had to think about that for a second. No, she makes a nice meal. She can cook. She with the specific for the general for the specific, a synecdoche. When he's talking about the Jews, he's talking about specifically the leadership, okay? And you got to understand that. Otherwise, it leads to all kinds of problems later on down the road. This is the record of John when the Jewish leadership, because we say, who crucified Christ? Well, Isaiah 53, I did. My sins. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Who crucified Christ? I did. Scripturally. But it'll say that the Jews, and it means the Jewish leadership at that time, okay? Don't think Jews, Christ killers, let's kill them all. You know, for 100 reasons, but because we fail to realize the synecdoche here. Anyway, the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem and asked him, who art thou? Why? He's down on the Jordan. Listen, we were down there, okay? It's kind of a wilderness. It's like 20-something miles from Jerusalem. And by the way, on foot. I mean, you rent a car and go down there and make it. We went by bus. It was, we had baptisms in the Jordan. The Jordan, it's a creek. by our stands, it's a creek with really good press. Okay, that's all I'm saying. It is not impressive. River Jordan, chilly and cold and, chills the body but not the soul, and we sing hallelujah about this muddy Jordan. It's not nothing really super impressive, okay? Compared to the Kennebec River, it doesn't compare to the Kennebec River. I'm just telling you, okay? Anyway, he's down there by a place called Bethabara, as we'll find out in our reading today. What's happened at the temple? Not so much. Everyone's down in the Judean wilderness checking out John. What's going on? So they sent an inquiry team. I think this is a good thing. I think this is what they're supposed to do. I'm not critical at this point of the Jewish leadership. What is going on? We got this religious nut down there. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He's dressed like Elijah. And everyone's going out to see him. What's going on? Hey, we better send a team to investigate. I'm okay with that. They're not bad guys. They are bad guys. But you can tell because they're super religious. We'll find that out as we go along. I'm no fan of religion. The religious guys, the ones who crucified Jesus? Just saying. The Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem. Who are you? Read here. Who do you think you are? And I think you're okay with that. He confessed and deny not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Okay? He knows who Jesus is. He's saying, not me. They asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? Elijah is the idea. And that comes from the book of Malachi, the closing verses of the book of Malachi. Check that out for yourself. He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? Now that's Deuteronomy chapter 18. And he answered, no. So there's three expectations in that day who was supposed to be coming. One, the Messiah. Two, Elijah. Three, the prophet. By the way, the prophet, you can study this out, of Deuteronomy 18 is Jesus Christ. So two out of those three people are the same person. So they ask him, are you the Christ? I am not the Christ. Five words, right? Are you Elijah? I am not. Now he's down to three words. Art thou this prophet? No, one word. You can't get less than that. And they're thinking, wait a second. We come all the way down here. Give us something, okay, dude? He's terse in his response, is he not? But he's got plenty to say. I'm not this person, okay? They sent us all the way down here. Can you give us something? Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah chapter 40. He says, okay, you know that passage? That's me, the one crying in the wilderness. Make straight. You can read it. I think it starts in verse 3, and it goes on for a longer, more verses than most people give it credit for. I'm that guy. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Now we understand who the Jews of verse 19 are. They're the Pharisee crowd. And they asked him, and said unto him, why are you baptizing then? Why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Fair enough question. I don't know that there's any shenanigans at this point. I think they're trying to get to the bottom of things. And John answered them, because they're asking the right questions, and he's being a gentleman. He answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, because he's the predecessor. He's the evangelist, as it were. He's the announcer, the herald, I think is probably a good word. But he that's coming after me, he's preferred before me. This isn't the religion of John the Baptist, okay? This church isn't like John Baptist and we worship. No, it's the church of Jesus Christ. It's we worship Jesus Christ. John's the announcer, okay? And this is what he's saying. There standeth one among you, whom ye know not, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. Interesting. Now, if you're very industrious, you can get a whole thing here going, a whole study on shoes. You'll find in Deuteronomy they didn't wear out. You'll find in Exodus, hey, this is holy ground. Take the shoe from off your foot. I ask people, why is that? Because it's holy ground. Don't answer in circles. Why is that holy ground? Well, because you have to take your shoes off. We went to a church once. Hey, this is holy ground. You should wear a dress. Hey, this is holy. This is a holy place. God lives here. This is the house of God. It's nothing of the sort. This is a holy ground. You, young man, you need to wear a coat and a tie. As a matter of fact, if we showed up in bare feet, I don't think that would have went over really good at all. Now, just for the record, you could be here in bare feet if you want. In February, it's not advised. It's not unholy, but it is psychiatric. We may have to call somebody. You can show up in bare feet. You can wear sandals. You can wear combat boots. You can wear hip waders. We don't have any rules on footwear, hair, whatever. God bless you, okay? Is this holy ground? I think so. It's the place where the people of God meet to worship God. I think it's holy. It's set apart for a purpose. You know what I mean? Does God live here? Well, if you're trying to send him a postcard, don't address it to... He'll get it. I mean, the fact that he can read over your shoulder, you know what I mean? But he doesn't live here. It's not his house. You say it's not. Well, you are the house. You are the temple of God, okay? And if that was just one time in the New Testament and you missed it, I'll give you a hall pass. Seven times in the New Testament it says that. No hall pass. You're responsible to know that. The house of God is you and me collectively. Living stones, as Peter puts it, but let's keep moving. Anyway, that shoe thing, that's quite an interesting study. It was a marriage license to Boaz. You could follow shoes all through Scripture and find out there's a thing called expositional constancy. You can say that to impress your friend. It's what it's saying is the Bible tends to talk in the same idioms all through Scripture. A rock, we'll see, Petra, a rock is a rock is a rock is, and there's many things like that. Okay. I baptize water. There's one standing among you whom you know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Real humility there. He said, I'm not even a foot-washing slave. Comparatively. Okay? These things were done in Bethabara. Bethabara, I told you that. What does it mean, though? Beth, house, bara, passage, the house of passage. This is where the children of Israel came across when the Jordan River dried up. So when John says, hey, don't come to me with this, we're children of Abraham. God can turn these stones into children of Abraham. Is those the stones that he took out of the Jordan and made a little monument out of? I think so, by the way, but I can't prove that. Let's keep moving, though. But the Spirit of God wants to know this is done at the house of passage. And remind us, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, after the inquiry team showed up, I wonder if they're still around. They headed back. I don't know. If they headed back, they're going to miss something really important. Next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. If I called you a lamb, would you be blessed? Again, expositional constancy. You start studying lambs. When's the first time? I think Cain and Abel. Abel brought a lamb. By the way, Abel was right. Cain, threw to the ground. I remember learning in parochial school, well, they have a nasty, rotten, he's going to be thrown out in a compost heap anyway. Wait, what? I've read it several times. It's not in there. What's the problem with vegetables? They don't bleed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Abel was right. Cain was wrong. Cain was a religious guy, if you ask me. Oh, he believed in God. I mean, he's making a sacrifice, right? What is he saying? Worship God, but I'll worship him my way. And God says, no thanks. Not interested. We'll get in chapter 4 here. Coming up, God's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Self-worship? Well, I'm going to worship God this way? We'll visit there when we get there. John seeth Jesus. So if you go through and you say, well, see, again, you see him in Cain and Abel, and you see him in the Akedah, Genesis chapter 22. Hey, Dad, Isaac says, we got the fire, we got the wood, where's the sacrifice? God will provide himself. By the way, where's the lamb is what he's saying. Here's the answer. Okay? You have to go all the way to the New Testament to get the answer to that question. God will provide himself a lamb. Did he? Oh, yeah. And then you keep studying. You'll run into the Passover lamb. You'll run into the Levitical law and all the lambs giving and sacrifice there. So we wouldn't call a guy a lamb. It wouldn't make sense. Here it makes perfect sense. Because to the Jewish mind, they would think of all those things. They would think of the Passover lamb. They would think of, you know, a sacrificial system. And they would think of Abraham and Isaac. Yep, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Is there anything else that takes away the sin of the world? No. No. Religion? No. Good activity. If you're woke enough, your sin goes away. No. But I accept, I celebrate diversity. No. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I didn't make the rules, but I am clearly stating what they are. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John knew who Jesus was, and he knew who John wasn't. I'm not trying to get a following. I'm trying to point you to the Savior. If you're a man or a woman of God, that's what you will be doing also. I don't want a following. I want, hey, you have to know about Jesus. And if you come to know Jesus through my ministry, oh, heaven. That's the whole thing. That's everything. That's all any woman of God ever wanted. I'm no different. Me? Oh, nothing much. I die this week. Let's hope not. There'll be somebody here next week. Big deal. It'll take hard to replace me. It's like when you take your hand out of a pail of water and see how long it takes the water to find level. That's how long it would take to replace me. I'm nothing. And I get that. And I totally get Susan's kind of looking sad like, I don't want you to go away. I'm not going anywhere, hon. Okay? I'm just, it's a hypothetical, okay? He was before me. He's preferred before me. Me? That is a voice. I knew him not. Wait again. What do you mean knew him not? I didn't know he was the Messiah, I think is what he's saying. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, this is what John's submitting into evidence, I saw the Spirit descending from him, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. What's that about? That's the baptism of Jesus Christ. It's not chronicled here. John is assuming that you read the synoptics of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. When he says we saw his glory, he's not going to talk about the transfiguration. He's assuming you read all that already. I think John is the last gospel. People will disagree with me. I think he wrote it after the revelation. You'll get a lot of people who think that, but I've thought that for a while now. I'll give you my reasons sometime if you're really interested in that. I think his sevenfold skillfully designed all through John is based on the revelation. There, the sevens are obvious. They hit you in the face. Many of them. Some are more subtle. You have to read through to find out there's seven of this or seven of that. But let's keep moving. John bare record. What do you bear record of? By the way, the triune Godhead. We have the Son of God in the water. We have the Father's voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we have the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. I was talking to one of those Jesus only, Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit people. UPC, United Pentecostal Church. Okay, I don't know if that's a bad thing for you to say. I don't think it is. And we were discussing this. I said, what about the baptism of Jesus? Oh, my goodness, I wish I recorded it. Gobbledygook. Just blatherskate. Nothing. Drivel. You would have been really super amused at hearing it, to try to explain it, but anyway. But I'm not going to try. I believe in the triune God. We're just singing about that. You Trinitarian here? Yeah. Don't expect me to talk about that at length. I think sometimes the more you talk, the bigger in trouble you get. I know there's one God. And in this one God, there are three persons. And the scriptures, all through the scriptures there. Anyway, I didn't even know him. Verse 32, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I saw, I was there. I saw, I bear record that this is the Son of God. Another way to say that is God the Son. Some people think, Johnson and Sons Plumbing. Johnson, old man Johnson started and he trained his kids and now they're, but they're not the Johnson of the, they're just kind of like, tag team, they're along for the ride. Johnson built the business. And people think God, Father God, and then God the Son, kind of a lesser God. Wait, No, it's not the Son of God in the sense of he's lesser God. He's lesser in positionally. My Father in heaven is greater than I. Read here in heaven. Read here Father, for that matter. Better than me? More God than me? We wouldn't make anything of that. He's in a... I'm in a position of subservience. He's Father, I'm Son. I think that's what he's saying. But let's keep moving. I saw the whole thing. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, they look upon... This is it gets really fun here. I got to move along. Two of his disciples were there. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he says it again. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, John's really bent out of shape about that. No, not at all. Not at all. Listen, don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Now, Adam, you've said before, follow me as I follow Christ. As I follow Christ. Until you get to the place where you can follow him all by yourself and self-motivate and read the scriptures and cure what's ailing you, yeah, follow me. We're all going to the same place. And I would say you have to be able to say that in your life. But ultimately, follow me? Oh, no. That's a temporary kind of, I'll be a crutch if you need to lean on me. I'll walk with you. We're going to the same place. I'll help. I'll do anything to help. You got to understand that I would turn myself inside out. Help you know Jesus Christ better. Absolutely, positively. No question. Follow me, ultimately? No. And this is what John's saying. Okay, you guys, there you go. He's not bent out of shape about this. This is a natural way things... He's got a date with an axe that's going to chop his head right off. You have to follow Jesus. Look upon Jesus, he walked, behold the Lamb of God. Two disciples heard him speak, they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, red letters, first time in a book. This is Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John. What is he saying? What's seeking? By the way, Jesus, he's like his Father. He never asks a question to find out the answer. This is the starting point of our discussion. It's a great question. Hey, following Jesus, you? What are you seeking? What's it all about? Well, you know, I go to churches, especially churches with a lot of people, because I drop my business card around, a lot of, business opportunities. I can, sell a guy a new truck or a Amway or whatever it is I'm peddling, right? What are you seeking? Sales. Hey, I noticed the church with a lot of pretty girls. I'm seeking a mate, so I'm kind of long for the social, hopefully, kind of. A lot of people seeking a lot of things. It's a good question. They say to him, Rabbi, is he a rabbi? Yeah. Yeah. A teacher. Not only, but it's not an insult. Which is to say, being interpreted master, sir, we would say, it's respectful. This is the answer. Where dwellest thou? Hey, where do you live? Where are you hanging your hat? Where are you? How can I hang out there too? Why do you ask somebody their address? Why do you ask somebody where they live? We do it small talk. I have an idea. This is not small talk. They're not following John anymore. Now they're following Jesus. Hey, where are you? Where are you? Where can I touch base with you? Where you are? That's where I want to be too. It kind of almost reminds us of Ruth and Naomi. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Is this that? I think it's more. Hey, we're in. We're all, listen. Hey, hold on. Where do you live? He saith to them, come and see. What a gracious invitation. Hey, why don't you guys monkey around with me? Get out of here. Go find some other Messiah. You think I got nothing better to do than hang out with riffraff like you? The answer to that question, by the way, is no. I think Jesus loved this question. He loved being able to answer them, and he loved the fellowship that entailed. I think this is Jesus all through and through. Come and see. Why? Because they were awesome? They were sinners like you, like me. What is the invitation to us? Come and see. Come on. Water's fine. Jump in. Anyone who comes to Jesus, Jesus said, I wouldn't know why he's cast them out. You remember that, right? We'll look at that verse. Adam, you have no idea. Stop! No, I don't. I have an idea who I am. And Jesus said, come on. I love you. Come on. Let's go with. Gracious invitation. If people are trying to reform. You know, I'd like to follow Jesus. I got to give up smoking and drinking and swearing and cussing and sleeping with my girlfriend and stealing and all kind. I got to give all the stuff up and follow Jesus. What a bad idea. I'm not saying you should keep on stealing and keep on cussing. I'm not saying that. Self-reform is no good at all. That's really putting the cart before the horse. I got to tell you my own story, okay, because everyone's giving a testimony. I just wanted fire insurance. I just didn't want to go to hell. And he said, that's enough. How gracious are you when you say, when you answer somebody, yep, good enough, close enough, save me, and started, put the Holy Spirit and started changing me. Was it self-reform? No, it was the Holy Spirit of God working in a man's life. Praise his holy name. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Quick word here. Think in terms of like 6 o'clock in the morning. So 7 would be the first hour, 8 would be the second. So it was probably 2 hours left of the day. If you think about, because they're like us, you know, the days get longer and shorter. They're above the equator, but closer to it than we are. So their seasons aren't quite as radical as here in Maine, you know. I don't know how many hours the difference between the winter solstice and the summer solstice. Quite a few. But if you think about it, then you'll only be an hour or two off at the most, if you think about it that way. So it's about 2 hours before evening. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who introduced to Andrew. Andrew, three times the scripture is mentioned, and every time he's bringing somebody to the Lord. Here, he's mentioned, right? So he has to be bringing someone to the Lord, right? I just said. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This is important. Messiah, Mashiach in Hebrew, means anointed. Christ means, it's like Crisco, right? Oily. Means anointed. Anointing is with oil. And it means, for our purposes, set apart for a holy purpose. Some people think John, Jesus Christ, and Christ is his last name. No. Christ the Anointed One. He brought him to Jesus. That's to say his brother. That's the first thing you do. You get saved. You want all your brothers and sisters to get saved too. Very often, right? And all your friends. He brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon. Shimon, as we would say it. Sometimes you see Simon, sometimes you see Simeon, sometimes you see Cephas, and sometimes you see Peter. This guy with too many names, okay? It's all very confusing because we're dealing with two different names in two different languages. That's the problem. You're Simon. You're hearing, by the way, is what that means. You're the son of Jonah, but you're going to be called Rocky. Cephas. He changed his name to Rocky. Really? Oh, he knows Peter. He knows Peter's temperament. He knows how he can be a rock, and he certainly is, especially after Pentecost. But we'll leave that. Which is by interpretation a stone. The word is Petros in the Greek. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith to him, now he's collecting disciples. So far he's got Andrew. I think he's got John. I think he's the unnamed disciple. Because I think John is in the Gospel, John, very often, but he never names himself. Why wouldn't he just say, yeah, he was with John, he was with Andrew and with James? Because I think it's autobiographical. The day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth Philip and say to him, follow me. So now, this is Andrew bringing Peter. This isn't John the Baptist saying to his disciples, go follow him. This is Jesus is walking up to Philip. Hey, you, jump on board, follow me. It's the same thing to Matthew Levi later on. Follow me. Is that how it was with you? He used a friend of mine to share the gospel with me. It's different with everybody. Why? Because he's God. He's not a formula. He's not, you know, step one, step two, step three. Can't, don't you wish you could just, if I say this, then I'm going to say this, then I'm going to say this, step one, two, three, and they're in the kingdom. It doesn't work that way, does it? He goes up to Philip, and he says, hey, Phil, follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Does Philip follow him? Oh, yeah, of course. Now, Philip's from Bethsaida. Philip findeth Nathanael. Is that his brother? It doesn't say so. It's just his friend. I don't know. Then findeth Nathanael. By the way, I love that. Gift of God. It's his name. He finds Nathanael. He says to him, and we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Nazareth? You're kidding me. That's what he says. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, Nazareth is not famous for vice. It's not like Las Vegas of the day, what goes on in Nazareth stays in Nazareth. It's not like that. It's a little podunk no place. Okay? That's the issue. We were there. We were at Precipice Hill, and it's obviously so. That's the one they were going to throw Jesus off of because it's the only thing around that fits the bill. You get thrown off of there, you're all done, okay? Just saying, right? So we were there. And it's still a nothing little, it's kind of dirty. I will tell you that, okay? Litter and garbage and I won't tell you who lives there. I don't want to defame anybody, but it's not the same place anymore. Nazareth? Who comes from Nazareth? By the way, Nahum, just in case you wonder, there's another Old Testament prophet too. But I can't remember. Anyway, two prophets come from Nahum. Nazareth. Philip says to him, come and see. I'm not going to argue with you. Why don't you check it out? Listen, this verse and others, I don't argue. I have. People come to me and say, what happens after you die? Well, we just died, and I just kind of wonder what happened. Boy, I wish you'd asked me before when she's still alive. You're not going to like the answer. I don't know. I won't lie for anybody. People ask questions, and I tell them, you want to argue? Oh, well, okay. I ain't arguing with anyone in the kingdom. It doesn't work. It never works. Jesus is the light of the world. I don't want Jesus. Oh, you want darkness? Okay. No argument. He's life. In him is life. And that life was the light of men. I don't want any. I don't want life. I want darkness and I want death. Okay. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. Let's just focus on truth. I want truth. I don't. I just want a lie. I watch CNN. I think it's the gospel. They say anything. I believe it. Absolutely. I know it's true. I saw it on MSNBC. Absolute. Okay. Okay. No argument. You know why hell's hell? God's not there. The outer darkness. It's a place of eternal death. Fire is never quenched. The worm doesn't die. You want that? I want the Creator. I want the life giver. I want the truth. I want all the good things God has for me. You want to argue? Okay. I'm not putting the gloves on. I'm not stepping into the ring. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Is Nathanael dishonest? No. Jesus says so. That's what he's saying. How do you know me? Oh, listen, let me tell you about Jesus and his knowledge of you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows you on a cellular level. He knows things about you that you wouldn't even suspect. which is good. When I let him down, is he disappointed? Oh, I got another lemon, he says. He saw that. Whatever happened. He died for the sins that I committed all the way up until the time I got saved, the sins I committed on the day I got saved, and all the sins I'd ever commit in perpetuity. He died for all of them, and he loves me. Go and figure. Hey, it's called grace. Try it on. It's wonderful. Fits like a glove. So good. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He knows if I'm truthful. He knows if I tend to exaggerate. He knows if I lie outright. He knows all that stuff. How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you there. I saw that. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art King of Israel. By the way, yes and yes. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Israel. True that. I like Nathanael. Is he a gift of God? I think he really is. He's a good guy. He gets it right off the bat. And Jesus is kind of taken aback a little bit. Jesus answered him, because I said, I saw you under the fig tree? That's caused you to believe? You're going to see greater things than these. Hey, Nathanael, what happens when I start cleansing lepers? Guy's missing his hand, fingers, his toes, his nose is all decayed, his hairs are falling off. I touch him and he's clean as a newborn baby and his skin's so soft you want to go and give him a big old hug. What happens then? What happens when I start giving blind people new eyes? What happens when I start raising the dead? What do you get when I walk on the water? When I tell the storm, hey, shut up, be muzzled. You think this is something you want to come along with? You haven't seen nothing yet, Jesus. Is he boasting then? I think he's just saying what's going to happen. You're going to see so much. We're going to see so much in this incredible book. Now Jesus goes on to say to him, verily, verily, truly, truly, you'll have it in a verse that'll say, amen, amen. This is what you've got to understand. Now when Jesus speaks, it's always true. It's always verily. When he says, you know, I say unto thee, sit up and pay attention. Something's going to happen. It's going to be true. When he says, verily I say unto you, sit up and pay attention. Something really important is going to happen. When he says, verily, verily, now, oh my goodness. Oh my. You know what? Verily, verily I say unto you. Hereafter, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. He's given a treat of what he's going to see. What does this hark back to? Jacob's ladder. He goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 28 and says, remember? Jacob's ladder. By the way, some people think it's Jacob's staircase. I do. Stairway to heaven. You think that was Led Zeppelin? Genesis 28, long before Robert Plant showed up, okay? Just in case you're wondering. There's a lady who's sure all the glitters is gold. She's buying the stairway to heaven. No, she's not. No, not at any price. Sorry, Led Zeppelin fans. I like the song too, but it's theologically horrific. It's not to be believed. Hey, you ain't seen nothing. Is he saying that to us by extension? Well, I think so. You want to follow me? You want to live a life of adventure? You want to walk out your faith? Oh, man, the things I'm going to show you. You're going to see the Son of God ascending and you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, next week, I don't do this. Next week, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana. We're going to talk about weddings. Okay, it came up yesterday. What weddings you should attend, what weddings you should not attend. I could really punk out because I don't like to be a pinata. I don't like people batting me like a pinata. I could just talk, stay on script. But I want to talk about that a little bit because there are questions. And we have people who I think should know better saying things that they ought to say. I'm going to tell you what I think Scripture says. Okay? And bring your stick and you want to beat me? Okay. We'll do that next week. Okay, so that's it. You think about Simon, think about Andrew, think about Nathaniel, think about John the Baptist, think about Philip. They're all eyewitnesses. He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. He's this, he's that. He's. There's an accident outside. We're going out, we're going in between, we're getting to our cars, we see this accident. We saw the whole thing. But don't you worry. Someone's going to come in 2,000 years and tell us what the accident and who involved what. And the eyewitness account, we don't care about, right? In what world is that true? Well, I have all these eyewitnesses that say, hey, I drank deeply from that well. I experienced Jesus Christ. I hung at his house. I was with him. We had an overnight. I followed him for 3 years. I saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. These are all eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. Think about it. Think about it all the way through. Before you say, no, I don't believe he's the Creator. No, I don't believe he's divine. No, I don't believe he's Christ, the Savior of the world. Before you say all that, weigh out what the people at the time said about him. That's credible. That's not asking anything unworthy of a man, unworthy of a woman, is it? Okay. I've gone over a minute. You're going to have to forgive me. You're just going to have to, okay? But our worship team will come at this time and send us out of here in song. I would ask you to stand. Lord, thank you for this enjoyable look at the early ministry of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, as I share this, as others share this, that several would come to know you, your Son as Savior through your word. Others would grow and be nurtured in their faith. Lord, we thank you for your word, the Bible, and we thank you most for your word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.